I want to join with Chris in expressing to you appreciation for your presence today. We're in the midst of a series of holidays from now on through the first of the year. Of course, Thanksgiving, which has just passed, and I hope it was pleasant for you. Then Christmas coming up, and then New Year's. So we have about three of them in a row, and they're all pretty close together. But I hope they're all pleasant for you. But we're delighted to have you on this Lord's Day to worship God in spirit and in truth. Let's remember our services throughout the day, and this evening, of course, our evening service at 6, at which time Brother Brian will be bringing the lesson of the hour. I want to congratulate, of course, again, Martha and Doug on their wedding anniversary today. We're glad to have you present. I want to speak for a little while today on Is the Bible Plain, or Tell Us Plainly. You know, the Jews came to Jesus in the wintertime. Tom read the text from John 10. And they were a little disillusioned at Jesus. They said, Lord, you're not speaking plain. And they said, tell us plainly, are you the Son of God or not? And he said, I told you you wouldn't believe me because you're not my sheep. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment and answer the question of whether or not Jesus is plain. But I first of all want to address a wider question, and that is the Bible plain? Can one understand the Bible? And I have on the chart, yes, Doug prepared this chart for me today, a little one here. I wanted to, is the Bible plain, yes or no? Plan of salvation, yes. Apocalyptic, no. Was Jesus plain? We'll get to that a little bit later on. So you can see that and kind of get a mentally idea of where we're going. First of all, I want to say the answer to the question, is the Bible plain? It has both a yes and no answer. Now, a lot of folks don't like that. They'd rather you be explicit and have a yes or no, but it can't be answered that way because the Bible doesn't teach it. The Bible teaches us that the Bible is plain in regard to what to do to be saved. It's plain about how to get to heaven. If not, God wouldn't have been fair to us. I believe that anyone can understand how to be saved. I believe they can understand how to live the Christian life. I believe that's been reduced to the lowest common denominator so that everybody can understand it. However, there's language in the Bible which is very difficult. We call it apocalyptic language or symbolic language. Books like Revelation, the Apocalypse, and then you have Ezekiel and you have Daniel, and there are just a lot of things in there very difficult to understand. I never will forget, I was trying to convert a young man one time. He wanted to talk to me about the Bible. And I said, fine, come on over. And he came over and we opened up. And I said, let's first go to Acts here and let's see what one must do to be saved. He'd never been saved. And I started in and he said, I don't want to study this. I said, why not? Well, he said, I want to study Revelation. He said, I want to know about the red horse and the black horse and the white horse. And I want to know about that dragon that had a tail that knocked the stars out of their orbits in Revelation 12. I said, son, you're not ready for that. And I don't know that I could tell you what it means anyway. That's apocalyptic language, highly symbolic. You have metaphors and similes, and you have other enigmas that are very difficult to understand. Well, he said, but I want to study Revelation. I had the most difficult time getting him back to what he needed to study, but he wanted to study something he couldn't understand, in which there's a lot of speculation. And that's what he wants. And some folks are like that. You try to get them to Acts of the Apostles, and they say, I'd rather study Revelation and about all those symbols and signs in the book of Revelation. I'd rather go there, preacher. I don't want to know. And, you know, they're not, first of all, there's very few of us qualified to know 100% what all those symbols are anyway. I don't claim to know the answer to all of them. But they don't have anything to do with you going to heaven. Written to the seven churches of Asia, and obviously written in a code so they could understand it. But I don't believe that all of us can 100% understand the book of Revelation. Now, we might have an idea about it, but somebody else might disagree with it. Someone said, well, if that be true and that has to do with our salvation, we could be lost. It doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. Yeah, the plan of salvation, did you notice what I answered up here? I said, the plan of salvation, yes. The Bible is plain to understand. Apocalyptic language, symbolic language? No. Even Peter said in 2 Peter 3 that Paul had written some things hard to understand. And he said the unstable rest to their own destruction. That word rest means they twist it. And people like to get into the book of Revelation because they can speculate. And they can make people believe they know all of them. I listen to this fellow on TV sometime. And he has a little scrawny blonde-headed wife. And I can't, his name is Jack something. And what he does, he has her to feed him the questions. And he acts like she said, now, what does this mean over here? And he says, I'll tell you what that means. He doesn't any more know what that means than he'd know a Greek letter from a turkey track. But he thinks he knows it. And he tells the audience he knows all the answers. He doesn't know the answer. He's leading people off. Because he can go to the book of Revelation and be highly speculative, and people who are gullible will follow him. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. The book of Revelation, the Apocalypse, was written to the churches in Asia. And it was written in highly symbolic language, at least the latter part of it was. For example, you go over to Revelation 12, and you read of this dragon. He's a red dragon. Well, why is he red? Well, most commentators say it means he sheds blood. It symbolizes blood. And that may be true. And he has seven heads. And he has a tail that is long enough to knock the stars out of their orbits. Now, that's some tail, because the closest star is millions and millions of miles. And if he had a tail that long, that'd be very long, wouldn't it? Well, someone said, that's symbolic. Well, I agree to it. I agree to that. I have no problem with that. And that old dragon is standing there, and this woman is with child. And she's about to deliver this male baby. And he's standing there with his mouth watering, and he wants to eat that child. He wants to destroy it. Well, someone says, who is the woman and what is the child? Well, you're going to get a difference of opinion. I don't know how many commentaries on Revelation, I guess six or seven. And two of them were written by friends of mine, and I think they're among the best. Foy Wallace Jr., he's dead. So is Homer Haley. I knew both of them. Worked with Homer and all. Last time I saw Homer was on an airplane. We were going to meeting together. But they both wrote commentary on Revelation. But they don't agree on Revelation 12. Brother Haley says that the woman is the Jewish economy. And the male child would be Jesus and the beginning of the church. Boy says that the woman is the church, and the male baby, the children, members of the church. So they don't agree on it. And, of course, they differ on when it was written. One of them believes that it was written during, Foy believes that the book of Revelation was written during the Neronian or Nero age. And Brother Haley believes it was written during the Domitian reign, as far as the Caesars are concerned. They don't even agree on that, the time that the book was written. And so what I'm saying is when you get into the book of Revelation, you might have your opinion about some of these highly symbolic expressions which we have there. And that's all right. But I want to say that that has nothing to do with you going to heaven. And that's why I want to clarify that. You see, I have up there yes and no. You understand why I put yes and no. The Bible is plain if you're referring to how to get to heaven. But if you're referring to the apocalyptic language in some of the books of the Bible, then I'll say that's very difficult. And sometimes it's hard to be understood. And so I gave you a yes and I gave you a no answer to that question. Of course, there in Revelation 12, sometimes these symbols are interpreted. For example, in Revelation 12, later on in the chapter, it says that that dragon is the old serpent, the devil himself. So I know who he represented. He represented the devil. And so it was the devil that was waiting for this male child to be born, whatever it was, so he could consume it. It could consume this male child. So I tell you this. I just hit in Revelation 12, but we could have gone to a number of other places. But one of the great dangers of people trying to get into the Revelation is in regard to numerics or numbers. I've said this all along, and a lot of people haven't thought about this too much, but I'm going to tell you something. The greatest speculation in the book of Revelation has to do with numbers, but numbers can be symbolic just like anything else can be. But these false teachers, what they'll do, they'll go to the book of Revelation and they'll make the numbers literal, but everything else is figurative. For example, the 144,000 that were delivered up. Did you know there are people that say there's only going to be 144,000 go to heaven? That's not what that means. That's symbolic. Some say, oh no, those numbers are literal. One is a one and a two is a two. And the reason there's danger there is because numbers are exact. 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. And so since numbers are exact, they like to play on numbers. And they say the 1,000-year, it says a reign of 1,000 years. That 1,000 years is literal. Who said so? How about the rest of the chapter? Is it literal? No. The other things, like the dragon, that's not literal. And a lot of other things are not literal. But the numbers are. I met a man in debate one time called Dr. Kestner. And he wrote a book called Numerics of the Scriptures. And I bought a copy of it. And all through that book, he took upon himself that he could interpret all the numbers of the Bible. Where did he get his authority? Where did he learn that? It is his opinion. And he went from 1 to 1,000, and he could tell you in that book what they all mean. But by what authority? His opinion. Now, I know some numbers are literal. I understand that. When he says Jesus was raised on the third day, I understand that's when he was raised. And I'm not saying that all numbers are symbolic. But I'm saying many of them are symbolic in the book of Revelation. And the 1,000 year doesn't mean 1,000 years. It's symbolic of a period of time. And the 144,000, that's symbolic. It doesn't mean that there's only 144,000 going to heaven. But some of these false teachers will tell you that. But they don't literalize everything else. They just literalize what they want to literalize. And I don't follow them, and I know better. Upon whose meat has Caesar fed that he's waxed so fat? By what authority can they do that? If they could do it, I could do it. And you could do it. You get into some deep water when you get into the book of Revelation. And I don't take it upon myself to dogmatically tell you that I know whatever sign and symbol in the book of Revelation represents. But I believe I can go to heaven without knowing that. And if I can, I'm in trouble. And you're in trouble. If you're going to have to know 100% what all of these signs and symbols represent to get to heaven, you're in trouble. And that's why I have up here, as you notice on the board, I have yes on the plan of salvation. And what? And isn't that wonderful? That all you have to do is know how to be saved, and it's plain. It's plain. It's simple how to be saved. But now, as I said, if you get into the apocalyptic language and figurative language and the signs and symbols and the metaphors and so forth, of course, it's going to be difficult. Now, the next question is, was Jesus really plain? I think he was on the basic things, but someone says, what about those parables? Well, he said the reason he spoke in parables is unto you, that is his disciples, is to know the kingdom of God, to understand the kingdom, but unto them it is not, that is the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And there's a difference of opinion about why he spoke in parables. Some say that it would have hastened his death and a number of other things. And, of course, you can take that for what it's worth. But he did speak in parables, and in many of them he interpreted the parable. He didn't interpret all of them. The sower and the seed, Luke 8, he said the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. He told about the stony ground. And he told about the thorny ground and the good ground. And he told what they represented in people. In people. He said the seed must fall into the honest and good heart. And he said the good ground means the people who accept the Word of God. The others accept it, but for a time they fall from grace. In other words, in hours of temptation, he said they fall away. And that happens to some members of the church. They are represented by the stony ground or the thorny ground. And he interpreted that parable, if you wanted to go back and read it. And he represents, of course, even some members of the church who remain faithful and some who do not. I was talking to a woman in Houston, Texas one time, and she told me, she says, Preacher Hoagland, I just can't understand the Bible. I just cannot understand the Bible. Well, I said, if you're telling me the truth, just forget it. Everything's all right. She said, what do you mean by that? Well, I said, if you can't understand it, you're okay. She says, well, you classified me with idiots. I said, no, you did. I didn't do it. You said you... I want to tell you something. If you really can't understand the plan of salvation, and if you really cannot understand how to live the Christian life, your passport is signed to heaven. She said, really? I said, really? God's fair God. He's fair God. And if someone is incapable, actually, mentally, incapable of understanding the Word of God, their passport is signed to heaven, just like a baby. You're going to go to heaven. But what some people mean when they say, I can't understand the Bible, is either they mean apocalyptic language, which is difficult, or they just mean they haven't studied it enough. They don't want to study it. Mentally, maybe they have a high IQ. And they can't tell me they couldn't understand the Bible if they wanted to. But sometimes there's prejudice and there's bias and there's dishonesty. And various other things that keep people from understanding the Bible. Jesus said unto you, it is given to know the things about the kingdom, but unto them it is not. That is the Pharisee and the Sadducee. So my point to this woman was, if you're incapable of understanding what we have up here about the plan of salvation and how to go to heaven, then you are all right. You're going to go to heaven. Because I do not believe that God, the Bible teaches that God is going to hold people who are incapable, such as imbeciles and so forth, if you'll pardon the expression, responsible for obeying the gospel and living the Christian life. I believe they're going to go to heaven because they're incapable of understanding it. You know what I'm talking about. But I believe that, shall we say, normal people, people who have sufficient IQ, well, intelligent quotient or whatever you want to call it, are capable, if they're capable of understanding the Word of God, then God does hold them amenable to the law of the gospel. It just depends on where you classify yourself or maybe where you are classified. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Most of you, and I'm glad you are intelligent people in this audience, and I believe that if you want to, you can understand the plan of salvation. But I don't believe that you have to understand everything in the book of Revelation down to the wire of knowing exactly what every one of those symbols mean. And if you were to tell me that you had the answer to all of them, I wouldn't believe you. I don't believe that. Now, someone said, well, I have my opinion about all of it. Well, that's fine. But you can't dogmatically prove that. It'd be very difficult to prove it, I know, because I've taught the book of Revelation myself. And I admit when I teach it that I tell them what I may think that means and what it's possible, give them two or three opinions, like Foy Wallace and Brother Haley, they had difference of opinion about a number of things in the book of Revelation. And they're both intelligent men. They're both intelligent men. And so I don't think you have to understand that in order to go to heaven. I want to go over that. But you can understand what to do to be saved. Now, in the text that Tom read from 10, I want to notice this here in the closing, read a few verses. It was winter time. You know, Palestine had weather kind of like we have, and it's cold last night. It got down to 24 degrees on my thermometer early this morning. 24, maybe very little bit. And Palestine has cold weather about this time, too. And from the standpoint of topography or geography, they have about the same climate we have here in this part of America. Well, it was wintertime. It says it here. Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter, which implies it might have been cold. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch, which was a department of the temple. And they came unto him and came round about him and said unto him, "How long will you make us doubt if thou be the Christ? Tell us plainly." They said, "Lord, you're not talking plain." And he denied the charge. He said, "I have been." Listen to this. He says, Jesus answered them, "I told you and you believe not." In other words, I told you and you didn't believe. "But why, Lord?" Listen to this. "The works that I do in my Father's name, they are witness of me. I have proven to you by my works and miracles and so forth that I am the Son of God, but you wouldn't believe that. But you believe not because," here's the reason, "you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Sheep? Someone says, "Preacher, I thought a sheep was a Christian." Sometimes. Sometimes not. Someone said, "Well, Matthew 24, the sheep were the ones saved." Correct. "The goats were the ones who went to hell." Right. But that's not what he's talking about here. The word sheep means different things. This means a person with an honest and good heart and who's willing to study. I can prove it. Notice they were sheep before they followed him. Well, someone says, who's he talking about? He's talking about people who are honest. You know, a lot of people in this world are not honest. That's why Jesus said the seed has to fall in the honest and good heart. A lot of folks are not honest with the Bible. They're dishonest. As I said in class this morning, you can't prove anything to them because they'll deny it. Even though you prove it, as Paul said. They couldn't prove that he'd done those things when Tertullus, the lawyer, stood up. You remember? We studied that. And then Paul says they can't prove these charges. I said, how do you prove something? Someone said, well, by witnesses. That's true. He says, my works bear witness of me. That's what Jesus said right here in his text. He said, but you're not my sheep, and that's the reason you didn't believe. It's because you wouldn't accept the truth when it came to you because you're dishonest. So who are the sheep? The sheep are the people out here in the world who are not saved, but they're honest and they're seeking the truth. And when they find it, they'll accept it. Jesus said, the reason you didn't believe me is you're not my sheep. You're not honest. He said, I gave you sufficient proof, and you still denied it. Therefore, you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Now, if the sheep here meant Christians, then you have them following at the wrong time. They were be already following him. You see, they were sheep before they followed. And you can't be a Christian until you follow Jesus. But you have to have an honest heart in order to be baptized. In order to accept the gospel. In order to accept the truth, you have to be a sheep. And if you're sheep, when you hear the truth, you'll do what? You'll accept it. Jesus said, I gave you the truth. You wouldn't accept it because you're not my sheep. Isn't that plain? Look at that. Look at the text. It's beautiful. Then he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 27. He said, I know them. He said, I know when you got an honest heart. It's just like I proved to a man by the scriptures from Mark 16 that you had to be baptized. He said, I'm still not going to accept it. He said, I reject it. I just don't believe you got to be baptized. And I proved it to him. He wouldn't accept it. He wasn't a sheep. Because if he's sheep, he'd have followed Jesus. You follow me? Isn't that beautiful? It's wonderful. I like John 10. All those parables about sheep and the sheepfold. Very good. Very provocative. Very good. Now, he says, you follow me. Now, he said, I give unto them eternal life. And now, there are certain preachers, Calvinistic preachers, who read these verses and say, well, he says that he gives them eternal life, therefore they can't fall from grace. That's not what Jesus said. Notice, if you take the whole context and I give unto them eternal life. Who do you give life? I give it unto these sheep. Why? Because they're honest and they'll follow me. And if you're honest and continue to follow, then no one can pluck them out of the Father's hand. That's true. But if a person doesn't have that attitude of a sheep, they can be plucked. Because they become dishonest and they don't accept the truth. Listen to what it says. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Notice, any man going to pluck these sheep out of my hand, because they're following me. And as long as they follow him, they're his sheep. And that's true. They won't fall from grace because they're doing what God said. But he doesn't talk about it when they lose this sheep attitude that he talks about here. My Father hath given them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And that's right. Because as long as you have that sheep attitude of honesty and continue to follow Jesus, that's the text. No man can pluck them out of the Father's hand as long as you do that. But some folks don't continue to follow the Lord. They follow the devil. But he said, they follow me. You see that text? That refutes that idea that this is teaching you can't fall from grace. And so what we have here, ladies and gentlemen, we have the plan of salvation, and how to get to heaven is plain. I can sit down with you and show you in very plain language, and anyone else can who takes the Bible, exactly how to be saved. Give you those examples in Acts and the Great Commission as given by the Lord. And anyone can understand that of normal intelligence. They won't have any problem with it. And then we can sit down and understand how did Paul tell us to live the Christian life. And you go through Christian duty and Christian responsibility, eating the Lord's Supper on Sunday, singing praises to God, praying to God, and teaching His Word, and giving of our means, which we did today. And you can take all the scriptures related to those subjects, and they're very plain. They're very plain. Now, under the old law, they tithe, but under the New Testament law, we're to give as we have been prospered, as 1 Corinthians 16 teaches. And I think most people can understand that. As a man hath, and not as he hath not, as Paul said. And there are other scriptures which deal with the giving proposition. And so, I want to close with this idea. Yes, the Bible is plain. Jesus was plain to his sheep. He said he was. He didn't necessarily say he was plain to everybody because they weren't honest. But he was plain to his sheep. And they followed him. I hope you're a sheep. And that you will always be one, in that you are honest and you will follow the Lord. And you'll believe and you'll repent and you'll confess and you'll be baptized. Which is very plainly outlined in the Bible as a remedial system. And the system whereby you're saved. And then study your Bible and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Put on Christ in baptism. And then study your Bible and know how to be morally upright and to be diligent in service, as the Bible teaches. And these things are all taught in the Bible. And if you do, heaven will be your home. But don't worry about a lot of figurative, symbolic language. It's all right to study it, and you meditate on it, and you may come to your own conclusions about it. But remember this, even if you don't fully understand it, you can still make it to heaven. If not, we're all in trouble. We're all in trouble. If the Lord says, Hoagland, you've got to understand the book of Revelation and know exactly what everything means there, I'd have to bid heaven goodbye. And I believe everybody else would. It's very difficult in certain areas. But you can be saved today, and I hope if you'll come to Jesus, he'll save you. Give me your hand, God your heart, Jesus your life. Make the church your home and heaven your hope through obedience to the gospel. Shall we stand as we sing the invitation song?